Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Join the growing crowd at Mid-Delta Online Auction. Download their app by searching Mid-Delta Auction to bid on tractors, trailers, heavy equipment, golf carts, and more. Download the app today or call Will Jeffcoat at 662-299-2414 for more details for the first Tuesday of every month auction in Greenwood.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Monday night. I know. We don't usually do these on Monday, but I'm glad that you're here. So we'll go back to back. We'll go tonight and tomorrow. I had to wait until the bracket came out. I wish we could have gone live immediately after the bracket, but had, you know, the day job, the radio show we had to do to react to that. I did get to talk to Mike Bianco, though, so that interview is coming your way tonight. Hope you guys enjoy it. He seemed to be in good spirits, did Mike Bianco. So I will play that for you coming up here in a little while. We will talk about the regional draw. And then tomorrow, I think what we'll do tomorrow, we'll probably have some more stuff on the radio show that I want to play for you. But there's a lot of football things going on this week. It is spring meetings. You had this reporting from On Three and stuff. I don't know. Anyway, we will get to that tomorrow. Let's just do baseball and baseball only tonight, if that's okay with you guys. And then we'll do all the football stuff tomorrow. Sound good? Good. All right. Well, I'm glad you're here again on this special Monday edition of the podcast. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. Also, right here on YouTube, comment, hit the notification bell, all that good stuff. I would really appreciate that. And this edition is brought to you in part by Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, Mississippi, wherever or whatever you need, I should say, under one roof. Whatever you need for your backyard, for any summer projects that you've got going inside of the house, appliances, home furnishings, home improvement, and then if you got hunting property or just big land or a farm, they've got you covered. And also 0%, it's kind of a theme in this conversation. If you need a John Deere, anything for the yard, zero turn mowers, 0%, 36 months, compact tractors, 0%, 72 months, 5 series, 0%, 84 months, all commercial mowers, 0%, 36 months. And if you need a gator, 1.9%. Gators are awesome, by the way, for driving around your property or just your neighborhood. 1.9% for 36 months. John Deere's America's Tractor. And through August 4th, you can get those 0% deals at Scruggs. Check them out in Saltillo and tell them that it was me that sent you there. All right, we know the draw now. Ole Miss is off to Lincoln, Nebraska for the regional. Nebraska, Arizona State, South Dakota State, and yeah, looking forward to it, honestly. That's kind of the weird thing about this, in my opinion anyway. I know some of you guys would rather like the easiest draw in the world. That's not interesting at all. And they just move on with their day. But I am fascinated and kind of excited to watch and see how this team responds to the draw that they got. We'll get to team number one. And that pitching matchup is not ideal for Ole Miss. In fact, you could have created a character that Ole Miss would face on Friday night on the mound, and you would not have created somebody that is a worse matchup for Ole Miss than this guy. Again, we'll get to him in a second. But I am very intrigued at the opportunity that Ole Miss has in front of itself. They are the best pitching team in this regional. They have played by far the most difficult schedule. I think on raw talent, they are probably the most talented team in this regional. But again, they are on the road. There's a reason they are not hosting. But I'm excited to see how this team responds. That they have the pieces in place to go there and win this regional. It is well within their grasp. You have veteran guys, Judd Uttermark, Furness. How can they leave their mark? Hunter Elliott, how can he leave his? Though all these kind of storylines, last time Ole Miss went on the road in a regional, they went and won and ended up winning a national title. Can they reignite that spark a little bit away from Swayze Field? There's a lot of fun and interesting with this weekend that I'm really looking forward to watching and seeing what they're able to pull off. But let's start with Arizona State, 44 in the RPI. They do have a losing record against Quad 1 and a losing record against ranked teams. They seem to be a pretty explosive team at the plate. They got four guys that hit double-digit home runs, but the least of the four is 16. And then they've got Landon Hairston, who Triple Crown guy, 413 batting average, 1.4 OPS, 28 home runs, 79 RBIs, and has only struck out 24 times. He has more home runs than strikeouts on this season, an elite-level hitter for Arizona State, and going to be a huge challenge for Ole Miss. Really the top four guys in that lineup. It's a really powerful, explosive lineup, but they have not played and seen the type of electricity on the mound that Ole Miss can possibly present themselves. The real challenge for Ole Miss on Friday night, though, is the other side. It's the pitching, and it's Cole Carlin. Cole Carlin, the big lefty. He's got a 3.5 ERA, but here's the thing. Again, he's a big lefty. He's got really sharp breaking stuff, a fastball that can touch triple digits, and most especially, he has 124 strikeouts in 77 innings pitched to just 29 walks. 124 strikeouts to just 29 walks and only 30 earned runs in those 77 innings pitched. Conference play, his numbers aren't like super perfect or anything like that. Some teams have been able to get to him, but the stuff is electric. Obviously, it's swing and miss, and it's from the left side, and Ole Miss has struggled with both of those things this season. He presents just a massive, massive challenge and is really, again, the antithesis of what Ole Miss is on the mound. So that leads to the question, what do you do pitching-wise on Friday if you are Ole Miss? You're going to hear from Mike Bianco here in just a second when I asked him about it, and he gave the line, you're not just in it to win one game. The goal is to win the regional, so you have to do what's best in order to provide yourself the best opportunity to win the regional, not just one game. That tells me he's thinking about making an alteration in the rotation. I think Ole Miss's best chance in this regional is not to go with Hunter Elliott in game one, especially when you look at Nebraska and their lineup, a lot less explosive, a lot less dangerous. And whoever Ole Miss is going to see in game two is a righty with not super duper impressive electric stuff in the same way that they're going to see with Carlin in game one of this series. I think you have to match electric on electric, if you will. Maybe that's not the best way to describe it, but Ole Miss would be best served starting Taylor Rabe in this game on Friday night as opposed to Hunter Elliott. That is, I think, Ole Miss's best chance to keep this explosive Arizona State lineup off the scoreboard and match what Arizona State is going to present to the Ole Miss bats on Friday. And again, you have a super experienced Elliott later on. Ole Miss is in good shape from a starting pitching perspective, and it allows them to make kind of moves like this. As opposed to last year where they really didn't have that much flexibility, where they have three starters that can take care of most any lineup in the country when they're on. So it's a little bit easier to make this decision. But I do not think you throw Elliott in game one. I think you go to Rabe in game one. He's got the kind of electric stuff that can match Carlin, and that is Ole Miss's best path to winning this regional. This game on Friday is going to be, to me, like a 1-4 type game, probably really low scoring, a lot of strikeouts, and Rabe is the guy that provides the best opportunity for Ole Miss to go and do that on Friday. And again, I think when you hear from Mike Bianco in just a little bit, it sounds like he's leaning that way, but we'll get to him in a little while. And then Nebraska, should they get past Arizona State and Nebraska, they're 10th in the RPI with a 40 strength of schedule. It's a Big Ten strength of schedule. So, not going to blow you away or anything like that. They do have a winning record against quad one and quad two teams, though. So they have taken care of business, but they have lost to Oregon. They've lost to Auburn, the two best teams on their schedule. They did win a series over USC, but they got swept by Ohio State. Kind of a weird situation there. But they seem to lack power, but a very balanced offense. Seven regular starters bat over 300 for Nebraska. So, again, a really balanced lineup that's going to put a lot of pressure on Ole Miss, but I don't think they're as explosive, it seems, as what Arizona State is going to present. You are most likely, I think, going to see Ty Horn in game two. Maybe I'm wrong, but he was their game two starter. He's 3-2 on the season. He's got a 3.9 ERA, 77 innings pitched, and has struck out 78. So a lot less of an explosive arm than the one that Ole Miss is going to see on Friday night. But regardless of who it is, the starters for Nebraska are all righties, or at least the guys that are in line to start the big games this weekend for Nebraska are all right-handed pitchers, and Ole Miss is a lot more equipped to handle that as opposed to, again, what they're going to deal with on Friday. I've never been to a game in Lincoln, but I was pleasantly surprised when I saw the ballpark there. Looks really nice and well-kept. I think maybe they share it with a minor league team. I don't know, but it looks like a nice venue and a well-supported team. They broke some personal attendance records this season, I believe. So a true road environment and a really nice venue for Ole Miss to go and play. And I don't have much on South Dakota State. Their RPI is in the 230s. If we're doing any kind of legitimate preview of South Dakota State, well, this regional is going to be a disaster. So it's really Nebraska and Arizona State that we got to focus on, and we'll find out Friday at 8 o'clock. I do want to play this conversation I had with Mike Bianco. This was earlier today on the radio show, of course, Sports Talk Mississippi. And it's good stuff. So I hope you guys enjoy it. I will play that for you after I tell you about Logan Smith and Shelter Insurance. 601-823-3500. That's the phone number. If you need auto, home, life, or insurance for your business, call Logan Smith. And don't wait, especially the life insurance side of it. That's something I keep saying out loud. I need to enhance mine myself, because you just never know what can happen. It's worth a 5-minute phone call. Even if you have auto or home insurance, you're going to love the services and the rates that Logan Smith and his team at Shelter Insurance will provide for you anywhere in Mississippi. Don't forget to tell them that it was me that sent you. 601-823-3500. All right, we'll get to your comments after. Here's my conversation with Mike Bianco just earlier today on Sports Talk Mississippi. So here it is.
And Coach, I know you've made many regionals in your career, but I guess congratulations is in order. Your team makes the postseason yet again. How does it feel?
Well, it feels great. I mean, you know, it never gets old. It never. So we'll take your congratulations. So I appreciate it, and excited to get to Friday.
What is the biggest difference? Maybe this is an elementary question, but between a big Friday night in the SEC in the regular season and then a big Friday night against Arizona State in a regional?
Well, I mean, it's why you do all the Friday nights, you know, in the SEC, is, you know, to get to this point. And, you know, we've talked about that now for a week. I mean, yes, you know, the SEC is awesome. But one of the reasons that's awesome is that, you know, you feel that it prepares you as better than any, you know, conference in the country for postseason. And I think that's one of the reasons that the teams have done so, you know, well over the years. And I don't just mean recently, but, you know, for decades now, why the SEC sends so many teams, you know, to Omaha and so many national championships is because, you know, the league prepares you better than any other league.
Last week, you guys only play one game. Is that something that you as a coach welcome in hindsight? I know you would love to have won, you know, the SEC tournament, but now that you got a week off, was that beneficial for your team, or do you wish that you guys would have had a bunch of games to play last week?
Well, you know, I think you never want to play poorly. You never want to lose. But once you get to that point and you drive home, you can feel sorry for yourself and be mad at yourself and be angry, or you can get back to work and you know, fortunately your season's, you know, still ahead of you. And that's, I think, the attitude that we took and we talked about when we got back, you know, literally, you know, Saturday, you know, early evening. You know, the bus was pulled up here about 7 p.m. And, you know, we talked briefly with the guys. We put a practice plan together, met that night as a coaching staff, you know, kind of mapped out the next 5 days and really – we're mindful of, you know, that juggle, the juggle of, you know, you don't want that many days off. Baseball's, you know, not built that way. And to have, you know, 9-10 days off as hitters to not face live pitching, you know, that's not a good thing for pitchers and relievers to not have thrown, to not be in that, I think, game speed atmosphere is not a great thing. But rest and recovery is also a good thing. And so, you know, I think it's a juggle. So we inter-squatted on Wednesday, through a lot of different guys that didn't get the, you know, the opportunity to throw on the one game in Tuesday, had practice the next 3 days, and then of course had another squad on Sunday. So I think we checked a lot of boxes that we needed to check as far as live at bats and, you know, live, you know, pitching for the guys, and feel like we really took advantage of it.
When you found out that you were going to Lincoln to play in the Nebraska regional, what did you know on the surface about Nebraska baseball?
Not much, you know, obviously, from, you know, a couple decades ago, you know, I remember Dave Van Horn going there and really turning, you know, the program around, and, you know, got to Omaha a couple of years. But not much since then, obviously, because in a different league, two different leagues, right? I mean, you know, Big 12 and now, you know, the Big 10. I think when we're playing, but that's not, you know, again, you know, I think so much different than even Arizona State or, you know, a school that's, you know, out west. I mean, you know, when you're not playing them regularly, you kind of, you know, lose focus on, you know, what they're all about.
And conference realignment has been such a football-driven thing, but Nebraska, a Big Ten team, I mean, you get film on them playing Southern Cal and Oregon in three games each. That's really interesting that football has kind of changed the way that you get to prepare and judge a baseball team now.
Well, no doubt, and I think they would admit, and you know, from, again, an outsider looking in, you know, that alignment really helped their conference as far as baseball. I mean, you know, when you add you know, USC and UCLA and Oregon to the normal slate of, you know, Big Ten teams, it certainly, you know, made their conference better. But so did Nebraska. You know, Nebraska hadn't always been in that league as well. And so, you know, it's you know, we're all different, right? College athletics is different. So I don't think it's anything special.
I have not seen their pitching plans yet, but the presumption is you guys are going to be facing Cole Carlin in game one, a big lefty for Arizona State. When you guys are preparing for games like this, when you have a presumed starter, do you do kind of like what football teams do and they'll find a similar athlete and slap a jersey on him and practice against him? How do you replicate the kind of stuff that you're going to presumably see on Friday night?
I think most of it's done, you know, from video and just, you know, watching a lot of the, you know, analytics and data and, you know, how he attacks hitters, and certainly, you know, machines and in the cages and on the field. But it's really hard to emulate, you know, a guy's throwing motion, and, you know, we don't have that. No, that doesn't really happen in our league.
Pitching plans. I assume you're not going to reveal yours this weekend, but how much thought and attention and studying and meetings go into deciding whether or not you go with a regular rotation, maybe you throw your number two guy? What goes into that decision that you're faced with upcoming this weekend?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, you're trying to win the regional, you know, and so, yes, you got to win the first game, but, you know, winning the first game and losing the second, you know, is no different than losing the first and winning the second, right? You put yourself in the same position. And so the only way to have a better advantage is to win the first two. But at the end of the day, the reason it's different than the normal weekend is when we're playing Mississippi State or LSU or somebody in the Southeastern Conference, you're playing the same team three games in a row. And so here you're playing different opponents. And so, and usually opponents you're not familiar with. And so, you know, the thing is to try to figure out what is the best matchup. You know, who do you have available who's the best matchup for that team? And so that's what we've been doing today, you know, a little bit this morning before we hit the practice field. And then, you know, really, you know, since we've gotten off the practice field, you know, in, you know, late afternoon, you know, just looking at breaking down the numbers and seeing what the best matchups are.
We had Coach Ostrander on earlier and asked him the same thing. Of course, he didn't reveal his either, but he did say, you know, he feels like he's got three guys that are interchangeable. He's got 1A, 1B, 1C. From a numbers perspective, Coach, it feels like you have the same problem, quote unquote, with three guys that all have ace starter stuff.
No, and I think you're exactly right. You know, last year we were at a point where there was, I think, and I don't mean this as, you know, to take anything away from Mason Nichols or Riley Maddux, but there was a big difference between Hunter Elliott and the other two, and knowing that we had to get through the regional, you know, we rolled the dice and went a different direction and didn't throw, you know, Hunter on the first day in hopes that we could win and get to the number two seed Georgia Tech, but we just never got there. And so, you know, this year's different. You're right. You know, this year, not only are all three guys we feel can beat and they're aces and can beat anybody, but they're a little bit different. You know, obviously right-handed, left-handed, some a little more velocity, some a little more breaking ball. And so that's, you know, currently what we're trying to figure out, what's the best matchup.
You've got a lot of veterans on your team, experienced guys, even a Dom Decker who hasn't been in your program for a while, but he's played a lot of baseball and has had postseason success. What have you noticed from those guys, though, in the last week leading up to this moment and on the practice field and in your scrimmages and stuff from them getting ready for this weekend?
You know, I'm really proud of them. You know, to lose the first game and then to come back and to lose the first game in the conference tournament and to come back here and really ask them to get back to work, right? And, you know, be, you know, the thing is we want to be our best version, you know, this coming weekend. And to do that, we got to take care of some business. And I thought the guys were awesome. I thought they were very mature. And that's from, you know, the usual suspects and Judd and Hunter and those guys. But to the other guys, like you said, Dom, and that leadership, I think, you know, is transferable to those younger guys. And those younger guys that are freshmen, you know, as we joke a lot, they're no longer freshmen. They're done with school. They finished their freshman year. They finished, 57 games. And so they're almost sophomores. And so I thought it was a very mature approach, you know, across the board this week and really happy with it, you know, because I don't know if it's always like that, but it happens when you have great leadership.
Coach, we can't. Hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. And you know it happened today because I didn't bother changing. I didn't dress up either because the office was closed. And all the other shows were pre-recorded except for ours today. It was a company holiday, so I was in the office by myself, so I didn't dress up at all. So you know that was real, and you know that was today. But good stuff there. Read your comments after I tell you about Priority One Bank. 16 locations in Mississippi, local loan servicing and decision-making. It's in the name. They make you their priority. They do it to me every single day. They will to you. Switch and bank with me at Priority One Bank. And also Advantage Business Systems. If you're a Mississippi business that needs office technology, absms.com. Tell them all that it was me that sent you. Looks like this regional is going to mostly get good TV coverage. First game is on ESPNU, and Carl Ravage and Kyle Peterson will be calling the regional. Oh, I'm prepared for people to really not like Carl Ravage. I'm prepared for that. He's really good. He's technically sound. He's really good. Peterson being with him helps a ton because Peterson's a college baseball guy. But I understand the complaints when it comes to the College World Series when you bring in a Major League Baseball guy to call the College World Series, and he clearly has not consumed college baseball all season the way that somebody in that spot should. So I get that. I really do. Maybe I'm sensitive to it. I don't know if that's the right word or not, but I do grow weary of the announcer complaints. It gets a little old, a little quick. But that one's going to draw some. The way they seeded this really showed that all it took was for Ole Miss to go 16-14. Yep, that's it. Just win one of the Mississippi State games. Don't get swept at home by State and you're hosting. Let's be real. They need to win the regional regardless of where it is. That's the baseline to consider the season a legitimate success. Absolutely, it is. And especially considering the 2 years of missing the tournament and being really, really, really bad. And then you know, last year getting bounced by Murray State in your own regional, if they lose, if they don't get out of Lincoln a winner in this series or this regional, there's going to be a lot of conversation.
Just assuming they're going to go Elliott, Rabe, Townsend. At least that's what I would do. Simply have to play well. Last 2 weeks have been a return to a ton of sloppy stuff in the field and some poor pitching from Townsend and that mess against Missouri. Yeah. Out of all three state schools, thought Ole Miss had the toughest draw. That's what happens when you don't host. Southern Misses is pretty tough also. States is the easiest regional of the three, I believe. But Jacksonville State should not be a three in any regional. They should not be a three. And yet there they are. So that's a tough one. And then, of course, they have Virginia, too, who's very talented. Like Hunter Elliott pitching against the big crowd if they can play Nebraska. That's another thing as well. I mean, so that is a position he's been in before. I mean, there won't be, I'm sure there will be some people in the game on Friday night, but certainly not like super intense type atmosphere or anything. Say Arkansas got hosed on a regional spot. But that's why we talk about what we talk about all the time, right? That they do spread it around. That's what they do. They're not going to look solely on just, you know, this team's in the SEC and their schedule's tougher, so they're going to host. They're not going to do that. I think baseball media severely overrates Big Ten teams like UCLA, Oregon, USC, Nebraska. I don't know why they act like they're world beaters when 75% of the teams they beat don't care. I think it's just simply a product of they want to make sure that they show love to the entire country and cover the entire country. Because there are good teams around. Nebraska's a good baseball team. They can certainly beat Ole Miss this weekend. I mean, USC lost, what, one conference game? They don't play the same schedule gauntlet that the SEC teams do. But I think it's more about they just want to provide nationwide coverage. Even if State wins the Starkville Regional, which could be a little interesting, don't see them winning at Georgia at all. Georgia owned them during the regular season. So if you're the type that believes it's hard to beat a team, you know, six times in one season, well, then that would be your lining. But Georgia's just a better team than Mississippi State this year. It'll take an upset for them to go do that. Auburn paired across field is tough, but it is what it is. Yeah, anytime, you know, you just getting to the super regional, you can't really have, and you're not complaining, but you can't complain about who's on the other side. All the focus has to be on this four-team tournament in Nebraska. Don't start 2-0, and this team is basically screwed. I do think Ole Miss, I don't foresee them being able to pull themselves out of a loser's bracket, at least right now. Out of all the three state schools, actually, oh, sorry. Wait, I didn't read that already, did I? You think Southern Miss got the best draw? They got no SEC team in that regional. Virginia on a down year, plus out of all the SEC teams, I think Florida's a good draw. Thoughts on some of the other regionals? Oregon State together is going to be fun. Tennessee going to North Carolina could be interesting. Yeah, North Carolina's got the region of death up there. Super fascinated with the Kansas regional because Missouri State is legit as well with Arkansas. I do think Hattiesburg is going to be a lot of fun because I think that's a group of three pretty good teams. Jacksonville State better than people give them credit for. Can I be honest and say, I mean, Florida-Miami's got a little spice to it. There are a lot more compelling super regional possible matchups. I mean, there's a lot of dud regionals, aren't there? I mean, the Georgia Tech's kind of dull. The UCLA one's super dull. West Virginia one doesn't move me at all. The Florida State one doesn't move me at all. Tuscaloosa really doesn't move me at all with Alabama State and USC Upstate, with all due respect to my Spartans in it. I mean, I won't check out a pitch of that one. Texas, you could have an interesting game, too, if UCSB saves their starter, who's a first-round pick, and risks it for game two. That's what I would do. But anyway, interesting stat for the regional. Ole Miss has the best ERA in the regional, but also is statistically the worst hitting team in the regional. And In fairness to Ole Miss, their offensive struggles are well documented. I talk about them a lot. They strike out too much, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody knows that. Ole Miss having the best ERA, knowing that they've gone against the best offenses, is really encouraging. And also, yes, they are statistically the worst hitting team in the regional, but Arizona State and Nebraska and South Dakota State have not faced the week-in, week-out pitching talent that Ole Miss has as well. Yes, it is Memorial Day. God bless the families of the brave men and women who gave their lives for our freedoms. Yes, hope you guys had a good day. It was rainy here, so I don't know how many people got to go out and do stuff, but future will be determined in the first game against Arizona State. Yep. I don't think they're winning the regional. I would like 1% chance if they lose on Friday. And me too. I'm glad the game's at 8 o'clock on Friday. I don't like these afternoon games. It's better for radio content for us if the games are at 1 o'clock. They end right as the show begins, and then we can preview the next game all at the same time. It works. But just like from a viewing perspective, it's so much better when they're at night, isn't it? Last year going with the second guy in game one, blew them up against Murray State. Do you think that has any bearing on what they may do this time? No. I mean, you heard that interview with Bianco, right? He kind of alluded to that. He mentioned that they have better options to make that decision a little bit easier this time around. Side note, apologies if you've explained before. You should definitely see if Supertalk could live stream the show on YouTube rather than through the website. It would definitely make it easier. That's something that's been talked about. I will say that between the website and our app and being on smart TVs and stuff like that, you know, all that was expensive to do and took a lot of work and just to slap that over on YouTube kind of defeats the purpose of doing all the in-house work, you know, keeping everything within our one platform, but who knows, things may change. At the end of the day, they just have to play well. If they don't, they'll lose easily. We'll be having those frustrating conversations in the live stream. I mean, I'm concerned about Friday. I am. Because of the sheer volume of swing and miss that they're up against, paired with the sheer volume of swing and miss that they do on a nightly basis, regardless of opponent. But they have a shot. Ole Miss has a shot. I think they're the most talented, pure talented team in this regional. It's whether or not they're able to put it all together and make it count. Such a dangerous postseason team. Could lose the first two games. Could make a deep run in Omaha. So many good arms and inconsistent hitters. Yeah. Auburn got the easiest regional in the whole field. Isn't that statistically accurate as well as just like visually? How much money do you think the university and city missed out on by hosting? Oh, that's a good question. Baseball is not as impactful, obviously, as football or anything really close to it. But, I mean, that's 12,000 people at least three games for a weekend that, you know, is not planned for. Yeah, it's a tough deal. A lot of local businesses could have benefited from that for sure. When do you think Ole Miss will upgrade the baseball stadium? Not for a while. It depends on what your definition of upgrade is. I think there are just more pressing projects at the moment. We have still yet to get the football stadium north end zone entertainment district project release that's supposed to be coming soon. The second they get released, I will reach out, try to get Keith Carter on the radio show, and then, of course, bring that interview to you guys here. So after that, maybe they'll look into baseball. The pavilion's in great shape. Softball just got done. Maybe baseball is next, but I don't foresee it happening for a while. Due for rain all week. Hopefully not in Tempe. What will that weather? Or not Tempe, Lincoln. Let's see. Friday, high of 71, partly cloudy. Saturday, cloudy, high of 78. Sunday, cloudy, high of 81. So weather for the regional should be okay. But around here, it won't be. Don't want to be pessimistic, but won't be surprised if they get some great pitching performances and waste them with tons of strikeouts and errors in the field. I mean, that will be a fitting end to this team. Move the students back to the other end zone, and the football stadium will be perfect again. They just need to put some damn shade above those kids, man. Even if you keep them in the north end zone, whatever this new project is, has got to put shade over them. You've got to have structure above them. Whatever those weird black things are next to the video board, what the hell is that? It looks awful. The outside looking at it looks awful. Now, they're addressing this, of course, but that also wasn't a Keith Carter project. It was a Ross Bjork project, and it looks awful. So hopefully this new thing will address that and to help trap sound in as well. The only thing Swayze really needs, and I know it's easier said than done because of how everything sits, but the outfield terraces need to be up against the wall. That's what needs to be done. Needs to be up against the wall. I don't know how they do that. I don't know what's in their way. Maybe it's very expensive. It doesn't need to be special. It just needs to be closer. The people there make it special. It's rocks on cinder blocks, basically. So that's not, you know, that can't be expensive. You get a couple of guys in a few trucks and bring them to Home Depot and they can build that for you. So you just need to move it in. Any news you're looking forward to from SEC meetings this week? It doesn't sound like playoff discussion is going to be really on the table. I don't think Kiffin's going to get fined. I think he's going to get a, hey, shut up now from Greg Sankey. I don't think he's going to get fined. If he was going to get fined, it would have happened by now. I think that's just something that's being written. Clearly, he's been muzzled on Twitter. Not his fake dog's Twitter account, but clearly he's been muzzled on Twitter. I do think Greg Sankey is going to have a stop talking now conversation with him. Whether that's effective, I don't know. But you can't have the main subject in the most emotionally charged game that's been in the SEC in a while continue to fan the flames of it. You probably need to encourage him to stop as best you can anyway. Again, I don't think a fine's coming. It would have already happened by now, but that needs to happen. The breakaway conversation is the most interesting one to me, and maybe that's not the most interesting one to everybody, but clearly they're not going to get a bill. They're not going to get it. I don't know why they think they're going to get it. They were never going to get it. We've talked about it a billion times, both on STM and here. I don't get why they don't get it, but they don't get it. Sorry, pause there, long pause. They are now having to have the breakaway conversation. What do they say and what does it look like? That's what I'm most interested in. No, it's random, but did Ole Miss ever get paid from Daugherty and Princely? So I don't think it wouldn't be Daugherty. Daugherty never signed. It would be Prince Will and Devin Harper had buyouts that are owed to Ole Miss, and I believe they're owed at the end of next month. I don't know if they've been paid yet or not, but LSU still has time to fill that. So anyway. All right, guys, we'll be back live tomorrow. Well, we'll do, if anything comes up on the radio show tomorrow that's interesting about this regional, I'll bring that to you, but we'll talk football tomorrow, spring meetings. If anything interesting comes up, it might, especially considering some of the reporting today. So we'll see, and I'll see you guys tomorrow night. Same time, same place. I will see you then. You guys have a good rest of your night, and I'll talk to you tomorrow night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.